In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and momo to our Nauruan listeners who had their Independence Day yesterday, and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Aruna, and alongside me every week is my koi, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, it has been a big couple of weeks. I've missed you, brother.
Big T, it's good to be here. It has been a couple of weeks since we've seen each other. How's the body from the Nines tournament? All good?
Yeah, look, I was coaching, so my body feels great. Not too sure.
Well, how was the stress levels?
We got through it. We won the Shield, so the second division comp, but we're there next year. So looking forward to what next year has to come, but yeah, it was cool
going
to
one
be a part
then
of something special. So
that's the aim, to go one better, not the second div one. I reckon that would stink you a bit.
Try and take the big one. Well, Jared Haynes' team, they actually played in the grand final, which we missed out on. So congrats to those boys. But I think it's going to be a cracking tournament next year.
Nice. It looked like a big one, but we do have a big show planned. Plenty to get through. I'm going to go deep into the draw season this year. I'm going to preview how they're going to go, and I want to give people a bit of an insight here on why I think they're going to do pretty well, but also probably one of the main reasons, if they don't go well, especially at home, there's a big reason why. So make sure you stay tuned for my reasons for the draw. But we've also got the Sevens. Singapore Sevens finished up on the weekend. We had our Fijian women and our Fijian men representing the Pacific over there in Singapore, and what a fantastic outing for the Fijian men's team. And what we've also got do we have any rugby league on?
Do we have any rugby league?
Is there anything happening there?
We're going to give you one more week to get as much union as you need to get in, because trials start this weekend. So from this weekend, all we're going to see is rugby league. There are a few bits of news, but I'm going to give the majority of the show, of the news part, to rugby union.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The big guest for today is actually coming from rugby league. So
rugby union first, though.
No.
She started in rugby union first.
Well, like most our guests, chose the the bright side. Well, I'll let you do the honours and introduce our guest.
Yeah, we're going to have River Lee Alo on today. NRLW star, or young star, from the Parramatta Eels. She made her test debut with the Cook Islands before her NRLW debut, but also dual international with Samoa, Fitu Samoa as well. And you wouldn't believe it, I played with her dad.
You played with her dad?
Played with her dad, Dave Alo. Okay. Dave Alo, so that's making me feel pretty old. So
I remember River Lee Alo. She played Parramatta Eels. That made her debut 2025 round one against the Sharkies. And I believe I mentioned her name on Nijan Footy because she was a standout player for the Parramatta Eels. So looking forward to that chat.
Stay tuned for that one.
Moment of the week.
Yeah, T, I thought moment of the week for us for this week. I was just scrolling through Insta, and I came across the Fijian Drua assistant coach. His name's Tim Sampson, and he was on a podcast talking about one of the players and one of the challenges that Fijian players or Pacific Island players have to go through in order to perform at their best compared to, say, what we would have had to live in here in Australia. And I love these type of stories because it brings the human side to an athlete. It ensures us that whatever's going on in your world, man, it's probably nothing compared to what's going on in their world. So he was saying that the team manager came up to him at training, and he said, one of the boys is pretty tired. He might be a little bit off today, but just, you know, he's going to be, he'll be off. And he said, oh, why is he sick? He goes, nah. He's just with the storm that happened the night before in the village. He was telling him that he stayed up all night holding down the roof. So the roof didn't blow off.
So one of the drawer players.
One of the drawer players.
At home, holding the roof the night before training.
Night before training with a big storm coming through, and then he's making sure that the roof didn't fly off, and he had to stay up all night doing that just to ensure that, yeah, they still had a roof over their head the next morning.
That's insane.
And still turned up to training. That's a pretty cool story, when you think about those type of moments.
Yep. And I love hearing how the coaches are starting to adapt and understanding.
That's the one.
Yeah, what these players have to go through when they are trying to live in a professional environment, but yeah, living in the island. So I'm sure we'll get more to it.
We'll get more towards it. But I thought that's my moment of the week, and we'll get over to rugby league now.
My name's Aiden Toa, and you're listening to Legion Footy.
T, rugby league, you know, there's not much news happening, but I did see...
There's always news.
There's happening. Always news. It doesn't
we'll
sleep.
We'll find news.
Yeah. But I came across Adam Fanua-Blake just talking about the rule changes, and he's feeling like the game and the new rules that are always being proposed is going to take the big man out of it, you know, like himself, even like Nelson, who has gone over to boxing. But firstly, do you agree with his comments, like these rule changes are going to fizzle out the big man?
Yeah, I think when you look over the last decade, two decades, and some of those bigger players, the rule changes have, over the time, have actually adapted for the more faster, more agile rugby league player, the lighter, the smaller forwards. In regards to the more recent NRL proposed rules, the interesting thing is that we haven't got any confirmation on those rule changes yet.
Oh, so they're still proposed. Like,
they're still
the
proposed.
Way the players are talking, it's almost like,
well, it's frustrating.
It's happening.
No, it's frustrating because this weekend we've got four teams about to play their first trial. We still haven't gotten any news on whether those proposed rule changes are going to be implemented in these games or within even the season. Now, I can say I had a chat with one of the players and they had a scrimmage, in-house scrimmage, and then there were some refs there. So NRL refs came to do the training session, ref the training session, and even the refs didn't know whether these rules were coming through.
It sounds like rugby union, bro. They don't know what's going on.
So, yeah, I think maybe the...
But should there be concern for, I guess, when we think about our Pacific Island athletes, naturally big, naturally strong, they bring a lot of, I guess, that brutality to the game.
Yep.
Like, are we still going to see that in the future?
Well, as I mentioned before, those over the last decade, you think back at players like Samoa and Sam Cassiano, Nelson Asafa-Solomono, who's just moved on to boxing, even go a little bit further to Willie Mason, those big boys will know the game probably doesn't suit those players anymore, or they're not as valued as they were back then because the game was a
that's
bit
a
slower.
Good point. That's
you know, there
point.
Were no six against. There were no... you could lay on the ruck a little longer as well.
Yeah, wrestle
longer.
Was big back then,
wrestle
wasn't it?
Was big. Now it's pretty much refs are calling six agains or giving penalties with any attempt to slow the ruck down. So I do understand Adam Fanua-Blake's comments around the game trying to get quicker. But what it does do, it adds so much value to those big boys who can keep up with the game.
He's one guy that can keep up.
Adam Fanua-Blake, Omole Olakau'atu, and Payne Haas. So with their size, but they're fast, they're very, very fit, they can usually play 80 minutes. Now they're the new high-priced rugby league players because there's not many of those ones out there at this time of day.
Okay, so if you're a big boy and you feel like you're not a Payne Haas.
Get fit.
Or an Adam Fanua-Blake, you can get fit, come join rugby union.
No.
Come join
no.
rugby union.
Just get fit.
Come join rugby union. We've got a place for all shapes and sizes.
In other news, Tui Kamikamitha, he has signed for the...
Just this year
for the Storm. So he's extended another year at the Storm. I'm sure there would have been some negotiations. So he's very fit. Did cross paths with him in PNG when he represented the Fiji Pati. I think he just slots straight in.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. He had no contract leading in. Like, say, you know, people are signing 2 years in advance or a year in advance and know where they're going to be. He would have played all that year with Melbourne
with
uncertainty of his future.
Yeah, and all the way into that grand final as well. And if you think back to one of the biggest moments in that grand final, where Tui goes to score a try. I believe that if he scores that try after halftime,
that's very true.
It's game over.
Yeah. Now, he would have signed his contract earlier, I reckon, if he scored that.
Think of one of the proposed rule changes. So one of them was if you attempt to score a try, you knock it on, it's no longer a seven tackle set. When Tui went to attempt to score his try in the grand final, what do the Broncos do the next set?
They score within that seven sets.
In the seven tackles, they go down, score, and change the whole game. So
interesting.
Tui does, he's there for another year at the Storm. Probably helps them knowing that Nelson Asafa-Solomona is no longer at the Storm. Sonny Luke, so the Tongan international.
Tongan hooker.
Former Penrith Panther, he is now signed at the Cowboys. So he's up at North Queensland in Townsville.
And Donny Singe.
And he's there for
strength
1 year.
Strength and conditioner, Donny Singe.
So there's him, Reed Marnie. So I think there'll be some good competition for Reed and Sonny to compete for that starting nine. Or there'll be a spot on the bench, hopefully, for Sonny Luke to play for the Cowboys. Your mate or our mate, Mark Nawanganitawase, has signed at a Japanese rugby club. So what happened there with the Tars? Can you?
Australian think clubs. You got to go where the money is.
What's the coin? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that would have been a big.
Do you
factor.
Know what club? Japanese rugby club.
It hasn't been announced yet. The postman, he's got nothing to deliver this time around. No concrete. no concrete mail in. But if I'm a betting man here, in sense of like of, no, we don't bet on this show.
I'm going to guess he's going Toyota.
I reckon that's one of them.
You know why?
Why?
Because. Last Friday, I was having dinner with Kieran Reid, the former All Blacks captain. He was at Toyota.
He was at Toyota.
So I just know they got money.
Yeah, they do.
We're talking money.
Michael Hooper, former Wallaby captain. He's there doing spot coaching, same management group. And I reckon there's some strong ties there with the Roosters already with where
Joey Manu
was. So that's so he's at Toyota. But my other guess would be Panasonic Wild Knights.
The other rich club.
Well, they're probably not as they've got coin, but they're a genuine chance of winning every year. So I think he's young enough to still want to win titles. So I think that Toyota, even though they've got coin, they probably don't push for titles at the moment, but Panasonic does. So I think it's out of those two. That's my guess.
I'm sure we'll see shortly, but I just wanted to lastly finish on some sad news coming out of the Fijian camp. Mesaki Ravonu, Bulldogs junior at 22 years old, passed away in Nandi. So just wanted to send our love from Legion Footy. He had chronic kidney disease, retired in 2024, and sadly passed away a fortnight ago. So
yeah, much love to you and your family, brother.
Hey guys, I'm Alan Alalatoa. I'm from the Wallabies, and you're listening to Legion Footy.
Well, that's enough from Rugby League, Sammy. We shift over to Rugby Union. Now tell us, Rugby Sevens. Doso viti doso.
Doso viti doso, my friend. They're calling Singapore the new Singatoka because the Flying Fijians, the Sevens team, they've gone back-to-back over there and won the Singapore Sevens in the men's. So they finished top of their pool against South Africa. An epic match to finish on top. They had to go to extra time and score, like I was in golden point in extra time. So they won that one. Then they had to go against New Zealand in the semi-final. They were behind. Oh, sorry, it was a draw, and they came away with that victory. And then again, when they play France in the grand final to win 21 points to 14, down 14-0 in the second half, come back and win that game. Like, you know what it's like playing in tournament style of footy. You build momentum throughout the 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And when that feeling of being on and ready to go and you feel that through the tournament, it's pretty special, eh?
Yeah, or when you lose momentum and it's
hard you can go out
back.
The back door, yeah.
I mean, so the most recent one was that Nines tournament we spoke about in the intro, and we lost one game, but we lost the momentum right at the start and it was hard to come back. But the next day we started to build that momentum, that confidence, and then ended up going through and winning that Shield. Now, I believe this is probably what Fiji was feeling with those wins.
Yeah, it looked
confidence,
like
one hand, carrying the ball like a tennis ball. but just quick one. On the Singapore Sevens.
Yep.
So when you look at the Sevens circuit, what makes Singapore Sevens different, where Fiji can win 2 years in a row there, but they can't win at the other.
Do you know, it's actually a really good question. You ever played footy in Singapore before?
I've never been to Singapore, mate.
Make sure you come play rugby, mate. You get to travel the world. But Singapore is so hot and humid. And even though it's played inside a big dome and there's supposed to be air conned, it was one of the hottest places I've played, like Singapore and Hong Kong. So I reckon the conditions really suited the Fijians,
okay,
because they're just coming from their naturally humid conditions over to Singapore, and maybe the other teams would have struggled a bit in that heat, in that humidity. So,
oh, and you see South Africa was the –
yeah,
the other team in the final as well.
So there we go. So I think that probably would have helped them a lot. But in the women's, they finished second last in their pool, but were very close to finishing second. They had a pretty good outing against Australia. Big win over Japan, 34 points to 12. And they just lost to USA in Golden Point in extra time. They ended up making the fifth place playoff and going down in a tight one, 17 points to 14 against France. Fiji sit eighth out of ninth spots at the moment. And in the men's, the halfway point, the Fiji men's, they're on top of the seventh circuit. So they are flying, hence why they're called the Flying Fijians, T.
There it is.
There it is.
So doso viti
doso. Doso, all right.
So we just left, Fiji just won Singapore Sevens. Where are we off to next with the Seven Circuit?
Perth this week will be the Perth Sevens, my home old stomping grounds. My old stomping grounds. Oh, no, it's not.
Home of the Bears.
Home of the Western Force.
Oh, Super Rugby, there you go. Leads you straight into the warm-up.
Super Rugby, yeah, the warm-up games were on. We had the Chiefs get over the draw of 47 points to 31. Some other ones that probably stand out to me, the Force, they've had two big wins. So 42 to 12 over the Brumbies. They had a big win last week. And the Reds going down to the Waratahs, 49 points to 19. But
These are just trials.
They're just trial games.
Did you manage to see much of the squads that did play?
There was a mixture of academy players coming through, some people getting game time. The Wallaby players and international players, they got a little bit of time. But when I think about trial games, obviously they're necessary to be able to get some match fitness in, combinations, try a few things out that you want to probably implement during the season. But it's rolling subs. I think players, you know, would only be limited to minutes, say 20 minutes here and there. So when I look at the Western Force, like there'd be a lot of confidence coming out of Western Australia. 42 points to 19, big ones. But do you read too much into it though? Have you had those seasons when you were playing where we're hissing, absolutely hissing in the trial games and then
before the season.
We're like a wet blanket in the season.
Yeah, you know, I've managed to get out to most of the NRL clubs now, and we've got and everyone says it, it's the best visit, or this time of year is the best because everyone believes that they can win the competition.
Fool's gold. Fool's gold. Yeah,
everyone's undefeated. No one's won a game, no one's lost a game, but everyone believes that they go into the grand final, and you think about the amount of work that goes into pre-seasons. But you lead into trials. Now, just talking about these trials, it reminded me of one of my first ones as a young 20-year-old out at, I think we played in Hamilton or Rotorua in New Zealand, playing for the Roosters. That was one of my most memorable games because family got to come. I get to play with all these superstars. So although they are friendlies, they are trials, a lot of those young kids,
they get a taste of
they
it,
are
don't
getting
they?
A taste, but they're also starting to live their dreams.
Yep.
They're playing next to All Blacks. They're playing next to Wallabies. So
that's a really good point. There's a young Tongan player out of the Western Force, Boston Whakawhanua. His uncle is the new Prime Minister of Tonga as well, Lord Whakawhanua over there. But, you know, he's been wanting this for a very long time, and he got a taste against a side like the Brumbies, who are traditionally a very good team, host of Wallabies. And, you know, speaking with him, it was like a bit of a pinch me moment, like, wow, this is actually happening. So that's a pretty good point.
So let's not downplay these friendlies.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You're right. From a results point of view, but, you know, for young players coming
opportunities are there.
But Moana play the Highlanders this week. So they had an internal trial and they'll play, their one and only sort of proper trial game against the Highlanders before round one next week. And then the draw will play a Fijian select team this weekend as well.
I know we are going to go through a Fiji draw preview. Are we going to do a Moana one
Next week. We'll do that next week. We'll cover them next week.
What are your thoughts on the new Moana team without Artie?
It'll be a good discussion, so make sure you tune in next week as well. But we'll start with the Fijian Drua. Honest opinion, I think they're going to be much improved from last year. I think from the outside looking in, I reckon a big part of the reason why they'll be better this year is because of their coaching staff and their head coach, Glenn Jackson. Glenn Jackson has been a part of the Fijian Drua squad since their inception into Super Rugby as an assistant coach. And this was his first time last year as a head coach. And I reckon he would have reviewed that season hard. He would have reflected on it, you know, with a lot of honesty. I reckon he would have been brutal on himself on where he probably fell short. I reckon he's got a better understanding of the players. A Fijian environment in Fiji, even though it's a professional team, it comes with unique challenges. Stuff that you wouldn't have to endure, like if you're in New Zealand or you're in Australia. And you have to be able to adapt to those situations. You can be aware of them and you can have them there. But once you're in the thick of it and you've got to make a decision on how you go about it, like it can really impact the team.
Yeah, I think that coaches that go and coach teams like this from – so I'm just thinking of those NRL coaches that coach at a – or assistant coach at NRL clubs – and then they go coach a Pacific team like Tor Samoa. Yeah.
You can't replicate that same.
Or Christian Wolf when he goes to
those same messages
they
into
know
that environment.
That there's a different culture that comes with that team or that unique Super Rugby team like the Drua. So what you're saying is this head coach is now starting to.
I reckon he would have learned from that. And
he's got a better understanding. Okay, some of these things are normal.
It's normal, exactly.
Like holding down a roof
is a normal part.
And turning up tired.
of their life.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. And I just believe that they're going to, that self-awareness is going to be there a lot more. And
players? Do you know is there any new players?
Yeah, I think that's part of the next piece to it. Like, he'll be able to manage expectations a bit better. So when I think about last year's expectations, they were saying the apprenticeship is over. So they finished seventh the year before. They snuck into the semis. And last year they finished second last. But leading into 2025, they were talking about the apprenticeship is over.
Oh, that was the language.
That was the language that was being used. So like, I just don't know if that would have resonated with someone holding down a roof. You know what I mean? Like the apprenticeship is over. This is how we get success when those players are having all sorts of challenges to be able to come up and try and prep and perform.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. A more softer approach.
Yeah. Well, okay. How do we connect? Yeah. How do we connect better? And I reckon he's done that by signing some key players and key leaders that were brought up in the villages, but also had success around the world. And one of them is Temo Mayana Vanua. He's a big lock and he's played at Northampton, went to Suva Grammar. I think it was Suva Grammar. Yeah, went to Suva Grammar. And he has been a big part of like some big teams. So someone like him is now there. They've also got Manasa Matele, so Martha Matele's husband, we've had on the show. Like he's been at the Crusaders. He's won titles. He's been at the Chiefs. He's played overseas, and now he's back with the Fijian Drua. So I just think with those two guys, Penny Ravi, and then you've got like Frank Lomani, you know, another leader, and the youth of, say, like Isaiah Armstrong-Ravula, I reckon Glenn Jackson and his team will lean more on his players and have those leadership conversations on how they want their environment to look so they can get a certain feeling to help drive their decisions to then have the performances they want.
You sound like you you know someone in camp. have you heard this from someone? Or
no, I just like, again, putting my coaching hat on since going back in the coaching realm now, It took me back to all the coaches that got the environment right. And every environment that I was in, say, around the world was different. And the ones that really embraced it, especially in Japan, like where, you know, foreign coaches would come over and coach in a Japanese environment, the ones that adapted well and understood, you know, culturally there's a way to do things in Japan and there's a way to do footy, when they got the balance right, they were enjoyable environments and you got the buy-in from the players. So I just think that having those leaders in there is going to be infectious for the group.
So you'll guarantee that they'll make the finals?
I reckon they're going to come close and they're going to sneak in. It'll be tough. I think there's got a bit of luck and faith go their way, if they're injury free, I reckon they can sneak in there. And this probably brings me to the other point. If they don't sneak in and they don't get those home wins, there's a big reason why, T. There's a massive reason why.
And why is that, Sammy?
Don't look at me with those eyes like that. It's unfortunate. It's bittersweet. I won't be part of the Drill commentary team this season.
Oh, is that all?
That's all. That's going to be the big reason why. That'll be the big reason. If they don't get the results that they want in Fiji, mate,
I was about to say this in the intro and you saved, you go, no, wait.
That's big news.
Big moment, and the big moment is now.
That's big news that I won't be part of the commentary. I've got a good strike rate. I'm a good luck charm over in Fiji. The people love me.
Is that why they didn't even make the finals last year?
Well, they won most of their home games.
Why? Because they got to see you.
Yeah, because I'm part of the team. I'm good luck charm, me and Clarky and them. But unfortunately, I won't be there this year. So, hey, good luck to the Fijian boys.
Wow, I know what you've done there. You asked for more money.
No, I didn't. Wow. Please.
That is why.
No, it's never about coin. Never about that. Please, don't be doing that. I'm the man of the people. But disappointed not to be there, but I get more time with you.
Well, Sammy, thank you for all the rugby union news. I believe that with the NRL trial starting this weekend, this could be the longest
of the year. Thanks, bro. I appreciate that.
But we're going to get over to our huge star and guest of our show, rugby league player, yes, ex-rugby union, but chose the bright side in River Lee Alo.
Nijan Footy with Sam and T.
Well, Sammy, today we have a 19-year-old Samoan, Cook Island and Niuean rugby league player. She represented New South Wales in the under-17 and 19s, and she made her NRLW debut for the Eels last year when she played the Cronulla Sharks. And I remember watching that game. I was expecting, you know, to watch Elsie Albert and Kennedy Cherrington, but it was River Lee Alo who I came on Monday, that following Monday on Nijan Footy, and said, we need to watch out for this player.
I remember that.
And little did I know, I didn't know she played for the Cook Islands the year before in the Pac Champs in 24, and then she switched over to the Fitu Samoa in the 2025 Pac Champs. And then I believe in the next, not this World Cup, but the next World Cup, she'll be the Cook Island captain.
putting it out there already.
Bringing it back to the Cook Island Moana team. But to everyone, I just want to introduce River Lee Alo. Welcome to Nijan Footy.
Thank you for having me.
So Cook Island's captain, 2028 World Cup, what do you reckon?
No, I can't really take that away from Kiana, can I?
Well, she'll be 40 by then.
She'll be retired.
She'll be 40 by then.
Well, we'll get to your footy journey, and you're representing both nations, but you know, it sounds like you've got a number of different cultures, you know, Samoan, Cook Island, Niuean heritage. Can you tell us a bit about where your family is from?
So I was actually born here in Australia, brought up in Sydney, and then I moved to Newcastle, and I was brought up in Newcastle as well. So my father is Samoan and Chinese, but obviously I'm not that close to my Chinese side. And he is from the villages of Uafato Whangaloa and Sangapu. And then on my mother's side, my mum is Niuean and Cook Island. From the Cook Island side, I'm from Mangaia and Rarotonga. And then from my Niuean side, I'm from a village called Liku in Niue.
Man, you're all over it. You're all over it with knowing your family ties. Your dad, Dave, I played footy with him. Like, I think I was 17 when I made my first grade debut at Parramatta Two Blues, and he was the centre for the Two Blues side. So with him, I'm assuming you got your height from mum then. Is that right?
Yep.
he's short, but he went hard. And then, okay, so where's your talents from then, mum or dad?
I think both. I think it just goes with family, which is my side.
You know, with our Pacific culture, we're very proud of where we come from. I could only imagine some of the conflicts that happen in your household when Samoa play Cook Island, or, you know, with your Chinese and Niuean side. What was that like growing up, you know, with the different cultures within the same household?
I think when it came to obviously like say Cookie versus Samoa or any of those countries, I was just happy to support them both. I think all of them, there wasn't really just one country that I supported the most, but I think getting to be able to support the islands that I do is just, yeah, I'm just so grateful to be able to have such a diverse culture in my family.
Yeah, what about in the household? It's hard to cover everything, you know, around speaking the language or getting all to all the family and understanding a lot more about your family. But which side do you lean more towards?
It's kind of hard. Growing up, I mainly obviously grew up around my mother's side, so my Cook Island Niuean side. I was mainly brought up with my Niuean side, but then as I grew up, I got involved with my Cook Island side. And because most of my Samoan family live either in New Zealand or back home, as soon as I see my nana, my papa, like I would always like see my family. So growing up, I just try to stay connected to all three of them, but it was just like trying balancing them all basically.
And with your family, Do you have many siblings? Do you have a big family?
No, I don't. I'm the middle child of three. So I have an older sister and a younger sister. So it's only our family of five.
Do your siblings play footy as well?
They used to play footy. My older sister used to play footy for Para Juniors as well. And then my younger sister also played with me. But they have children now, so I'm the only one playing footy at the moment.
When you think about the Pacific Islands, the crystal clear blue water, laid-back lifestyle, unreal place to visit, you know, have you travelled back to any of the islands, like even Niue or the Cook Islands, Samoa, in the past?
Yes, I have actually. I've been to Samoa a few times. I've been to Cook Islands. I also went back to my nana's island, Mangaia, which is a pretty small island. And the only island I haven't been to is Niue. And I was supposed to go back in November, I think it was, October, November, for their Independence Day. But we ended up having PAC champs, and that's when I was in camp. So I was unable to go and make that trip. But hopefully I can go soon.
And how much do you know about the Niuean country?
Not a lot. I think growing up, I knew all about like our family and where we came from, but not as much as I did with my Cook Island and my Samoan side.
Before we get to your footy journey, like how do you stay connected to your cultures? You know, like through celebrating, through language at home. Yeah, how do you stay connected?
She's played for both Cook Islands and Samoa.
Yeah, no, like that's connected through the jersey on the footy field, but on the home front, like, you know, like your 21st and just the special things like that.
Yeah, oh, well, I'm not 21 just yet.
No, you're 21st. I mean, the other birthdays.
Yeah. But I think definitely growing up in my family, obviously my nana is goes to a lot of like socials and like community events, and through our sport is our main way we stay connected to our cultures. Definitely get involved with obviously the sport, playing rugby union, playing rugby league. We also played in like the Pacifica teams down here in Sydney as well. I think I represented both of my cultures at both Pacificas, just different years. In terms of language, I'm not very fluent. I'm not that connected with my mother tongue, not that confident, but I think what made me more connected with my Samoan side was just being in that camp at PAC Champs and just getting to know more about my language, more about the history. And I think just being around the girls and the atmosphere was just really warming to be around.
Yeah, I love that. And we're going to talk more about your Cook Island debut as well as Fetu Samoa debut and understand more about you connecting with your cultures. But before we get there, I believe that you played rugby first as a five-year-old. But I'm really interested to know, when you decided to play rugby league, you're living in Newcastle on the beaches, and you travelled to out west in Sydney, a team called Toongabie All Saints Tigers, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Your dad told me you had to do that, which is 3 hours away, to learn how to tackle. Is that true?
Oh, learn how to tackle.
That's what he reckons. He goes, how old were you, sorry, when you had to play league?
I started playing when I was maybe 14 or 15.
Yeah, 14. And he goes, yeah, I had to drive her all the way to 3 hours so she can learn how to tackle in rugby league.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well, that's okay. Well, so, yeah, I started playing rugby union first. That was my first sport when I was like 4 or 5. And then my mum decided one day that she wanted us to improve in our contact. And obviously league is a very contact sport, especially when it's like front on defense. So then we ended up playing league for like a school team. And then we eventually made our way down to Sydney to play for All Saints. And I think from then, that's when I started to love the game of league. Like all the girls had played for years before I did. And I think just converting from union to league, it just felt more fun. I don't know. I just felt like union will always be like my first sport, but just converting, I don't know, something just felt different.
It's okay. I completely understand. It's fine to say rugby
league. I can accept that there's more contact. I can't accept that it's more fun. She enjoyed it more. Yeah, I can't accept that. But she just said it.
Is it your interview or her interview?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, next question.
So, I know you're only 19 years old and you've had a lot of success at the start of your professional career, but at what point, you know, when you're playing rugby league or rugby union for fun, at what point did it start to turn more serious and you're like, okay, this is something that I want to achieve, is playing NRLW or make it a career out of it?
So I actually, well, obviously growing up playing union, I always wanted to be a black fern. I think that was my goal. But then I got introduced to league and I think enjoying it, having so much fun. And then I was like, started playing. I was like, obviously I had to develop my way through because I started as a back in union and then I converted to, I ended up playing forward and lead. So it was a bit different, but I just found it more fun being in that, like that washing machine, I guess. But I think it wasn't until I was 17, so 2 years ago, and I got told that it's either union or league and I had to pick one. So I ended up picking league and I had to leave my union days behind me.
Are you happy you made that decision?
Yes, I'm happy. But if I could go back to union, I'd love to.
I was going to say, you're 19 years of age. Just don't write off the rugby union days are too far gone. You got plenty of time to come back, all right? Whenever you want as well. But let's go to your Cook Islands debut. Like you debuted for the Cook Islands before your NRLW with the Parramatta Eels. Yeah, what was that feeling like to be selected to represent your family with the Cook Islands?
It was very emotional. I actually wasn't supposed to debut that night or that game. I just went in with our squad. Obviously, I think I was the youngest one there, but I wasn't expected to play. I was just in the training squad, the extended squad. And then obviously I was like, I really want to play this. So I worked hard at training. I tried to put, you know, my best foot out there. And then it wasn't until the day before game day and I got told that I was playing and I was going to make my debut.
What was that moment like when you did get told you're going to rep your Cook Island side?
Very emotional. So I think as soon as I got told, I rang my mom up straight away, but it was just different times with us being in Fiji and then them being back in Australia. But my family didn't pick up, so I was like just messaging them. And it happened to be my mom actually came and she surprised me that night and she flew over from Australia and she didn't tell me, no one told me. And then, she surprised me in our meeting room and I was just drawing and then I turned around and she just had her arms wide open.
Hey, when you think about, you know, all the emotional parts that come with representing your country, especially on game day when you're about to run out, you got putting on the jersey, you got the anthems, the atmosphere. What do you remember the most, or what stands out for you the most?
In my cookie game, definitely just walking out and seeing all the fans, the atmosphere. It was very loud. It was very overwhelming. Like, I've never been in that atmosphere before. And I think one thing I remember the most is definitely singing the national anthem side by side with my team and just, like, facing, the people in the crowd. I think that was a very special moment for me.
And then you fast forward only was it about 5-6 months and you make your Eels NRLW debut. What was that moment like when the coach, Steve Georgialis, was announced the team and you were in that team to play the Cronulla Sharks?
Yeah, so we actually, that week, we just had a list of people that were playing, but I didn't know if I was playing or not. He just had the names. He didn't really have any positions or anything. And then one training session, he just came up to me. I was just eating my dinner. He comes sit down next to me and he's like, thought I'd let you know you're playing. And I was like, what? He just said it so casually. And I was like, didn't know if I was like dreaming or not, but he just told me and I stayed quiet. I walked to my car after training. I was just like, is this really happening? And I just like burst into tears and then I told my family.
That's so cool.
When just on that debut as well this year, I saw that you wrote on Instagram that you kept your promise, my papa. You know, like your grandfather's obviously very special to you and sadly has passed away, but to represent him and carry his or your promise, you know, what did that mean to you?
Oh, I think it meant the world to me because obviously, I'm not emotional. Obviously, you know, my papa was always my biggest supporter, both of them, and I knew that he would have been in that stand, the loudest there, yelling out my name, and I think to just feel his presence from above and watching me play was. I knew I made him proud. I knew I made them both proud.
Yeah, I bet they both would have been very, very proud and smiling from heaven.
Yeah.
And you played amazing that game.
Yeah,
that game was it.
Thank you. I was so nervous. I was like, holy moly, I'm going against Ellie Johnston.
You're unreal. It's like I said, that following Monday, we're here on Nijan Footy, and I remember announcing, you know, saying Rivoli Yalo. Yeah, it's the name to look out for this year. Was it what you expected, your NRLW debut and playing in that arena?
I think it was everything I expected. I got pretty gassed on the first 10 minutes.
The speed like, is, I remember. Yeah, what's the biggest difference, the speed of it?
I just remember I got on the field and I was making run-ups, hit-ups, and it was only been 10 minutes, looked at the clock, and I was like, I'm so gassed. I was like trying to breathe in and like pretend I wasn't tired, but I was so tired. But no, it was actually so fun.
And then a huge year in the NRLW, and then we have Pack Champs at the end of 2025. What was the decision like when you decided to represent the Fetu Samoa and the Pack Champs?
Oh, well, it was funny because I was in conversations with both Saui and Ron, and I remember I just got calls from both of them. I had just had to talk to my family to make a decision. But I think because I represented my mother's side the previous year, I wanted to represent my father's side this year. And I think because Kiana was still in our squad for Para, and she would come up to me like, oh, are you going to come play for Cookies? Are you going to come play for Cookies? And I was like, oh, we'll see. I don't know yet.
For a lot of players, especially with Pacific Island Heritage, they do have to make a decision that is going to be a tough one on who they're going to play for because of, you know, the mixed cultures that are within our blood. How hard is it to make that decision, though? Like when you're put in that position, even though you ask your family, but to be able to say that I'm going to go this way and not the other way, like how hard is it to be able to make that decision?
I think for me it was a bit hard because, well, I just entered the NRLW scene. Like I was just my first year, and obviously I played for Cookies before I made my debut and before I made a name for myself. So I'm very grateful for Cookies because they gave me an opportunity to get my name out there, to be able to, you know, represent myself. And then for Samoa to give me the opportunity to represent Samoa as well, I think, it was a bit hard, but I knew that either way, I just wanted to make my family proud and myself proud as well.
I think also Fetu Samoa qualifying for this year's World Cup and the Cook Islands missing out, I understand that it was probably a good decision. And then you look at the squad that Fetu Samoa brought together, you know, Shalom, Aneta. We've also got here Sienna Lofipo. Yeah, what was it like to be a part of such a special squad and building towards the World Cup this year?
Yeah, so there was only a few of us girls joining the team as like newbies, as debutants, because the rest of them obviously have been playing for Tisamo for quite some time now. I think joining the squad being new is just more about absorbing everything. I'll make sure I'm just staying present, not worrying about, you know, the games ahead, whether I'm going to be selected or not. I think just enjoying the time with the girls and our culture and learning more about the team, about them as players and people outside, on and off the field, was important to me.
And when you look at that camp, and you know, I know you shared a little bit about the moment, the special moment when you represent the Cook Islands. What was that moment like when you played for the Fetu Samoa, or when was that moment where you were like, okay, here I am representing my family?
Definitely game one in NZ. That was probably one of the most exciting games I've ever experienced. Because I was a bit unsure if I was going to play or not with our squad and our extended squad, and let alone getting told I was starting as well in a position that I wasn't very familiar with. Like, I've played second row, back row in the years, but to be starting on an international level, I think that was surreal. I didn't think it was real, and especially going against people that I watched from NZ for years now, and to be able to verse them, I was like low-key freaking out. But I found it fun, though. I found it fun.
When you talk about special moments, the jersey presentations are always special, especially when it does come down to test football and you explain it well. You know, when you play for the Cook Islands this time around with Fetu Samoa, I believe that your grandmother was there to present you your jersey. Explain to us, how was the emotions with that one?
To be able to play at home in NZ, where most of my family was very special, especially to have my nana there, who had never watched me play an international game. Actually, she hadn't watched any of my rugby games before, because she's always been in NZ, but to have her there to give me my jersey. Our parents and our families weren't actually supposed to give us our jerseys. Sawi was giving us all of our jerseys, and my nana just hopped up. I seen her walking, and then Sawi gave her the jersey. I was like, "Nana, you're supposed to be up here."
Yes.
Oh, so that was off the cuff from her.
Yeah, she just came up, and then later Shalom's papa came up, and just people's families were coming up, but yeah.
Good lesson for Sawi.
That's
there.
Cool. That is all about family first. And then it must be a habit within your family to make surprises as well. Your dad flies over and surprised you for that game.
Yes, he did.
What was it like seeing him in the or when did you see him? Was it like in the warm-up, or did you see him before the game?
I think I seen him the day before our first game against NZ. I also messaged him. I was like, "Oh, how's the family at home?" No response, no reply. I was like, okay, he just brushed me off. And then I was in the lobby because one of my uncles came and visited me. I was like, "What are you doing here, uncle?" And then I seen my dad. He tried to hide from me, but I seen him down the hallway, and then I just seen him. And I ran and I gave him a hug.
When I think about your dad, man, he's sharp with his tongue. Like, he always had that banter. He was the first one to give it to all the young boys and stuff like that. But what's he been like with your journey in rugby league so far? Knowing that, like, he was pretty handy. He was a pretty handy footballer. But yeah, what's he been like in your corner, both the, I guess, the good and the bad stuff?
Yeah. So it's funny because, every time I go to a footy event and my dad's with me, he always bumps into someone, and they're always like, "Oh, you know, your dad used to be really good." I was like, "Oh yeah, okay."
He was.
Like, I never really because I've never seen him play. Like, I seen him play when he was a bit older, but I think just growing up, he was him and my uncle
Ray.
They were very, I wouldn't say they're hard on me, but because there's all girls in my family, we were, I guess, coached like, as coached up, we were boys, so they never really gave us any, special treatment or anything. We, from a very young age, were always taught so many things by my dad and my uncle, especially footy wise. They always give us tips. Sometimes I used to get a little bit annoyed and be like, "Oh, can you just stop giving me pointers now? Like, can you just let me play?" But I'm so grateful that my dad was able to come to all of my games and be able to give me the feedback and give me the advice, because it definitely helped me throughout my footy career.
That's awesome. I just got two more questions for you. First one is, you know, we've heard you say that you want to show Nijin kids in Australia, but also in the islands, that anything is possible. You know, how much or how important is that for you?
I think it's very important for me. Even though I never grew up in the islands, when I went back to Samoa, went back to Cook Islands, I see so many kids running around with a footy or with a ball, and I know that if we bring that footy and that education to them and that support, they'll have those opportunities to go and be able to make the big stage like I have today. And I think being able to give back to our cultures and our community is very important, just because here in Australia we have so many you know, opportunities out here. We have like the best facilities, and then back home, you know, you see those kids that don't have much as we have. So I think here in Australia, like us athletes, we need to be more grateful and more humble for what we have here, as the kids back in the islands don't have what we have.
Are you sure you're 19 years old?
Can't be. You sure your dad is Dave? Sure.
It's crazy to think, yeah, that you have that mindset, but also, you know, you've already an inspiration to many at the age of 19 years old, and I know you've got a bright future ahead of you. My last question, so you're Chinese, Niuean, Cook Island, and Samoan. Can you pick your favorite food from each four, and then what's the one on top of all four?
Oh, I can't really pick one, but I have two favorite islander food in general. It's definitely one is luau. That's my favorite. My second one is my nana's coco laisa.
There it is.
Makes the best coco laisa.
Okay. Favorite Chinese food? Anyone? Shumai. You know shumai? It's pork dumpling. Is that you?
Honey chicken, mate.
Honey chicken?
Yep.
Surely got a favorite Chinese dish.
Oh, no. Honey chicken.
Yeah. Nah, fair enough. Honestly, River, it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to sit here and chat with you and hear about your journey. It's only just starting and you've got plenty more to achieve, and we wish you all the best in the future. And I hope that unless you play Tonga, then I'll support Tonga. But I hope come World Cup time, Fetu Samoa is in that grand final and inspiring all the young girls coming through to want to represent their country. And we appreciate your time and all the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, it's Wolf Skelton here and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
And this is our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. Whoever loses buys the other a jersey of their choice. Last year we had a draw. This year it is...
It's a draw.
It's a draw.
Off. Yeah, it's two all so far.
But I'll be asking you the questions this week. And I know last week we spoke... What was the game? Family Feud.
We've
been playing off ChatGPT. So yeah. I thought would actually, you know, with the Family Feud theme, I actually reach out to a family member and ask him for some help.
Let me guess, Lima.
Lima, yes, for Give Me Three this week. So I did...
Lima Sopawanga, here we go.
I was in New Zealand last week, got to go down to Hamilton, and he cooked me a nice spread for dinner, and we had a good chat.
Let me guess his toughest opponents, and I'm... Number three,
toughest opponents?
Yeah, he's ever
close,
come across. Close. Okay, thank you. What have you got for me?
The gimme three was, for Lima Sopawanga, it was, and remember, he's played in New Zealand, England, in Japan.
Won a Super Rugby title.
So I say, give me the top three Pacific players you've ever played with. But,
ever,
I said,
that he ever played with.
I said, not at international level. Yes. So if you think of all the clubs that he's played for around the world,
okay,
the top three Pacific players that he's played with.
I reckon one of them, number eight, his captain, Nasi Manu, has to be there.
His number eight, the captain for
the Highlanders at the time.
You know what?
He didn't choose him.
He should have been in there.
Oh, everyone talks about how inspirational he was from that Highlanders team.
Yeah, at club level.
Yeah.
So
Nussie's not in there?
No.
Oh, who else
what
from
clubs
the Highlanders?
He's
played at the Highlanders. He's been at Shimizu Blue Sharks in Japan. He's played at Northampton. I don't really know the players at Northampton.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. He made his debut at the Highlanders.
Yeah.
But ITM.
ITM, he played with the Lions. Wellington Lions.
Wellington Lions.
Oh, he was around the... Mata Nonu has to be in there.
Ma'anonu is one.
One of them, yes, absolutely. Okay, that Lions team. So if Ma'a's there,
nothing.
Surely Jerry's there.
Jerry?
Jerry Collins.
Jerry Collins.
Nah.
No.
I'll take 1 point then. I'll
take
one.
The one.
I'll
the other one. Two.
Who were the other two?
Artie.
Oh, okay. They would have been same age.
Yeah, he played with Artie.
Okay, yep.
At
yep.
club level. And Josh Tuisova.
Tuisova. Josiah Tuisova. Do you know who he is?
No. Oh, he's the big one with the big legs.
Yeah, the
in
big
England.
Legs. Yes. Yeah. France.
Yeah, France.
Flying Fiji, number 12. That's yeah, it. He's a beast. So yeah, there it is, 3-2. But that's our time up for today, T. Until next week, make sure you tell all your footy-loving friends about Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website.
How good, Sammy. Ka kite, everyone. We'll see you
like
next
that one,
Monday.
Hey?
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.